I realize that you think you know me, but you don't really. Like all of you, I wear various hats, and those hats have different callings on my life. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I am a minister, and in some ways I am a worship leader. And all of those things demand certain things from me. And they change how I view life. I suspect that the hats that you wear change how you view life. This morning, I want to just ask you a question. As a minister, as one who basically gives a great deal of my time to preparing for worship, you might suspect that worship is important to me. After all, I spent years of my life preparing to enter ministry, and I spend time each week preparing to lead God's people in worship. So it's not surprising that worship would matter to me. But I'm aware that worship doesn't matter to everyone. I mean, you look around the sanctuary this morning, there are a few empty chairs. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, especially someone who's not here, but the fact is that not everyone values worship. So my question is, how important is worship really? I mean, that was important for me because I found myself thinking, is worship my job because it's important? Or is it important because it's my job? Let me ask it personally of each of you. If when you come to church on a Sunday morning, if on a given Sunday you have no responsibilities and it's a really pretty day outside, are you tempted to just skip church and go do something else? Or if you're on vacation and you're away from this church, do you make it a priority to go to another church when there is time? I'm not trying to create any sort of guilt, just trying to raise a question. How important is worship really? Well, to help you understand why worship is important to me, I have to tell you a little bit about my pilgrimage in worship. And to do that's not necessarily comfortable for me, because I have to take off a mask. You see, as a minister, I suppose you could say I wear a mask of religious success. I mean, there are people who come to me and they think that I have my spiritual act together. And they come with questions, and sometimes their questions perplex me as well. Where does a minister go when he or she, I suppose, has questions and doubts that have no answers? Well, let me just tell you at the outset, this is pretty important stuff. I believed, and I still believe, that God is good to His people. I want you to hear that. I want you to understand that, because what I tell you in my pilgrimage may seem a little unsettling. So at least hold on to that. You see, what I have to share with you is that there was a time in my life, in my ministry, when I nearly lost my faith. Now, I tell you that because of that very conviction I just shared with you. God is good to His people. And I always believed that a good theology ought to explain reality. That is, Good theology doesn't tell the way things ought to be. It explains the way things are. And yet as I wrestled with the way things were, it seemed that this God I believed to be good to his people didn't always live up to that. I mean, I compared my life to the life of my neighbor who had no interest, no time for God. And I just found myself very, very disillusioned. My neighbor was a shaker and mover who came into our neighborhood determined that he was going to get ahead in the business world. He was a man who had no regard for anything spiritual. In fact, following God would have hindered his success in business. If he had to cut corners to get ahead, he cut corners. If he had to lie a little bit or cheat, as long as there's nothing big, that didn't stop him. Now, he made money his God. And as I observed my neighbor, it seemed to me that his God was outperforming my God. I mean, I watched him. He moved into our neighborhood, and we seemed to start out being kind of on the same footing. But it wasn't long before, I could tell by the way he was dressed. I could tell by the things that he did that my neighbor was doing pretty well financially. I mean, his clothing was a status symbol. The jewelry he wore, it just said, "I have arrived." And it didn't take very long before my neighbor moved out of our neighborhood and moved across town to the nicer neighborhood with the bigger home. And that bothered me. But what bothered me more than my neighbor's success, this ungodly man, was the fact that he had an attitude that... Well, it was just full of pride and callous indifference. And as I observed him, as I watched him, I realized he didn't care who he stepped on to get ahead. He didn't care what he did. He was climbing the ladder of success. And as he put it, sometimes there have to be some casualties as you're climbing up the ladder. And he wasn't afraid to pull one person off the ladder so that he could move up ahead. He was just so full of himself. And yet, he succeeded. He continued to do well. He became a leader in our community. He became somebody that it paid to be seen with. And when he came home at the end of a day after hard work, he sat down to his meal. He didn't bow his head and give thanks. He just patted himself on the back. Oh, it made me angry. How could this neighbor of mine do so well? And for me, it just was always a struggle. I mean, my neighbor seemed to have the home, the vacation home. He had the clothes, the jewelry. Everything said that he was doing so well. And for me, there was always more month at the end of my month than there was money. And it just irked me. But there was something that bothered me more. More than my neighbor's success, more than his attitude. It was the fact that this neighbor of mine was popular. I mean, like I said, it paid to be seen with him. It was worthwhile in that community to be around him. He was a person who was a shaker and a mover, and knowing him got you positions. And so he was popular. Here's the real kicker. There were people in my congregation who realized it paid to be around me. And I said, don't you understand where this man gets his money? Don't you understand the corners he's willing to cut? Don't you realize this man is an ungodly man? You know what they said to me? They said, how can God know? I mean, if this guy is really who you say he is, why is he doing so well? And why are you the one who struggles? I have to tell you, I couldn't answer their question. I couldn't understand how all of this could happen and how this ungodly man could be so successful. And someone like me who gave my life to serve God could struggle so much. And as a result, I nearly lost my faith. Now, I want you to know, I kept this struggle to myself. Like I said, where does a minister go when he's lost in a forest of questions? I knew that if I had shared these questions with people in my congregation, they might have been tripped up themselves. I would have betrayed them to speak like that. So I just kept it to myself and just struggled on. But I am here today talking to you about this because that's not where the story ends. Now, as a minister who wears the hat of worship leader, I have a responsibility every week, whether I like it or not. I lead the congregation in worship. That means that whether I'm ready, whether I'm not ready, I come before God week in and week out. And one day, there in the presence of God in worship, everything changed. Now, I have to tell you that I wish this weren't the case, but I'm just reporting honestly that I don't worship every Sunday. In fact, I would argue that in this congregation that there's probably not a Sunday that goes by where at least some of you don't really worship. You know how it is. There are so many things that keep us from worshiping. We show up on a given Sunday like today, and there are so many things in your schedule, in your afternoon, in the rest of the week, and you get so preoccupied with all of that, you lose sight of worship. That happened to me. There are those times when I have so many different concerns that I just have a hard time focusing. And then there are those times when I'm ready to worship, and then, well, quite honestly, sometimes at those times I'm ready to worship, then it's the sermon. I mean, you've been there, those messages that are hard to stay awake through and you just have a hard time hearing and focusing. Can be the music. Sometimes it's good music done poorly. Or poor music. Doesn't matter how it's done. Those things can short circuit my worship. But mostly it's just me. The baggage I bring into worship. Oh, sometimes I come into worship after having one of those friendly fights with my wife, and we're smiley and happy, but we're steaming underneath, and those things can keep us from worship. There are all kinds of reasons why we don't worship, but one Sunday, I entered the congregation, and everything changed. The songs that were sung pointed me to God. The words of Scripture as they were read were like God speaking to me directly. And everything about that worship changed my perspective. And suddenly I saw what I had missed for weeks. I came to the realization, the understanding that I had been living in an upside down, downside up world. And there in that world, things didn't always work the way they should. And I came to the understanding that that downside up world was not really the way things always are. It was just the way things were then. I came to a few realizations. I came to a realization about my neighbor. I mean, I had observed this neighbor of mine, and in my opinion, he was living the dream. I mean, he had everything. The house, the clothes, the lifestyle, the job, everything. He was living the good life. But there in worship, I realized he wasn't just living the dream. He was living in a dream. You know how dreams are, where you have a dream and it is so vivid and so real that you toss and you turn and you wake up and you think, oh, it was just a dream. And I realized with my neighbor that like a dream, when God awakes, everything would be different. See, I had seen my neighbor as having all of this financial security and having everything together. And what I failed to realize is a financial reversal, a long lingering illness, death itself. And everything that defined my neighbor was totally empty. Oh, he was living for a time with a full bank account, but he would stand before God absolutely bankrupt. There in worship, I saw my neighbor differently. And in the place of worship, I realized that I'd been an animal. I mean, I was. You know how you think of an ox in some countries where they get them to thresh wheat and they put a carrot in front of them and they follow that carrot and wherever it goes, they go and that keeps them threshing that wheat. Or you have your dog and you get a treat out and you hold the treat and the dog's eyes are focused on the treat and you move the treat over here and wherever it is, all that dog sees is that treat. That was me. I was like a brute beast. All I could see was the blessings of God. I totally, totally lost sight of God Himself. All I wanted was what God could give me, and I totally missed out on a relationship with Him. There in worship, I realized we don't see things the way that they are. We think we do. But we see things the way that we are. And I was a bitter, nearsighted, materialistic animal. And there in worship, I saw it clearly for the first time in weeks. And it was there in worship where God showed me this downside up world where evil people, ungodly people sometimes prosper, where good people sometimes struggle, often struggle, really. And I also just saw God there in worship. I realized that I had been so focused on the blessings of God that I had lost sight of God. I was angry because God wasn't giving me what I wanted, but God was always there to give me Himself. The security, the hope, the realization that this God who is with me today will be with me forever and throughout eternity. There in worship, everything changed. I saw it all differently. God took my downside up, upside down world, and He set it upright so I could see things the way they really are. I share that story with you because I'm still the same person. I still am a minister and still lead people in worship. And sometimes I struggle to worship. I'm oftentimes finding myself focused too much on who I am and not enough on who God is. But sometimes when I come into the sanctuary and I come into God's presence, I catch a glimpse of God and I see Him for who He is, and He takes my downside up world and He sets it upright. And I see things the way they really are. Now, I tell you that story. It's an absolutely true story. It's not the story of Pastor Tory Robinson. It's the story of a man named Asaph. Asaph was the worship leader in Israel, the time of David. And his story is recorded for us in a psalm. And I want you just to listen as I read Psalm 73 to you and let Asaph tell you his story in his own words. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain I kept my heart pure. In vain I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I've been punished every morning. If I had said I would speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away like terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you, O Lord? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all of your deeds. Let's thank God for his presence with us today. Father God, we come to you today from a very upside down, downside up world. And Lord, in this world, we can be very confused if we just try to get our bearings from what we see around us. But we thank you for this morning. We thank you for meeting with us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for the hope that is ours in you. Lord, I pray that you would keep us mindful of how powerful it is to come into your presence, to get our perspectives made right. And Father, I pray you would help us to take this perspective with us as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name.